Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church. While they're handing those out, Philippians chapter 1 is where we're at. There's a term that is used today that means something completely different from what it used to mean. It used to mean maybe a couple decades ago, if someone said that you had something that went viral, then that meant that you were going to have a doctor's appointment very soon, right? If something went viral, it meant that you had contracted some kind of virus. But now when something goes viral, it's when an image, a video, a link spreads rapidly through a population by being frequently shared with a number of individuals, usually via the internet. Maybe you remember some of these things that went viral. Here's a picture of one of them right here. How many of you guys remember this? Well, maybe we'll get that up there. Hey, can we get the next one up there? There it is. How many of you guys see that right there? How many of you guys remember this going viral? Anybody remember that? How many of you guys see a gold dress right now? Who sees a gold dress? Who sees a blue dress? And that's why it went viral, all right? We'll go on to the next one here. How many of you guys remember this? How many of you guys tried the Tide Pod Challenge? Anyone? They're no longer with us. And the people that tried that one. Let's look at the next one here. There we go, the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. How many of you guys did the Ice Bucket Challenge? Maybe 5 years ago or so, something like that. And then this one may be stretching. This one's an old one. But how many of you guys recognize these two young people right here? Anybody remember the little kid's name? Chorley. And what did Chorley do? He bit my finger. How many of you guys have no idea who Chorley or the finger is? Anyone? All right. If you don't have a clue, go on YouTube and type in Charlie bit my finger, and it's one of the most viewed videos on YouTube of all time. These are things that have went viral, and I was wondering this week, what is it that causes something to go viral? And if you type that in, you'll get a lot of different opinions, but most of them revolve around the fact that whatever it is that's being shared has to be unique, it has to be unexpected, something that brings value, joy, inspiration, or even hope. And so when you experience those kinds of feelings, joy, value, hope, amusement, or inspiration, it makes you want to share it with other people. There was a pastor friend I ran into about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, and he said, hey, have you heard about this Ameren Energy Assistance Program? And I said, no, I haven't. And he told me about it, and he said, if you qualify, you can get a lot of free energy assistance work done to your home. And he told me that he had over $10,000 worth of work done to his home for free. And I thought, that can't be true. And so I did it, and we got over $7,000 worth of work done to our home for free. And I told our church about it in one of the sermon series. I mean, you guys remember me talking about that? And there were many people in our church that applied for that as well. And just the people in our church that I know of had over $100,000 worth of home improvements done completely free. You say, wow, I missed out on that. Well, you should have been at our church. I'm sorry, all right? But when I found out about it, man, I wanted to tell everyone that I could about it because it brought value. It brought assistance. It was something that was helpful. And that thing spread so much so, it spread so much that if you go to apply for the Energy Assistance Program now, you're out of luck because they're out of money, all right? And so that's just the way those kinds of things work. When we think about things that bring joy and inspiration or help or assistance, we want to bring them up front so that everyone can see them. And it would be a little bit like a telescope. I texted my wife. I said, do we have a telescope at home? And she said, no. And then she said, wait, Gracie has one. And I totally forgot about it till this morning before I left. And I woke Gracie up, our 15-year-old daughter. And I said, Grace, where's the telescope? And she pointed at this thing. So that is a telescope, Dave. I don't know if you knew that or not, but get a close-up look here. We'll call it a monoscope. How's that sound? But when you think about a telescope, what does a telescope do? It amplifies something. It takes something that's farther out and it brings it into view so that other people can see it. That's what we do with viral videos. That's what we do with the Ameren Energy Assistance Program. A telescope is something that will take something that's very large but people aren't able to view on their own, and it brings it into a place where they can take all of it in. And you know, whenever we look at Philippians chapter 1, you may be wondering, what in the world do these things have to do with Paul and the book of Philippians? But believe it or not, this is what Paul is doing in the first chapter of Philippians. He's using a telescope, if you will, in hopes that something will go viral. We've been in a series of messages that we're calling this, we're calling it Joyride, and we're talking about finding joy in places that we typically don't find it. The reason we're looking at it from that perspective is because that's what was going on in this book. I mean, the theme of the book of Philippians is joy. But it shouldn't have been joy because Paul, when he was at the city where the Philippians lived, the city of Philippi, the last time he was there, he was beaten and put in prison. Now he's writing them a letter from Rome, and he's not staying in the Hilton. Where's he staying? In jail. He's in prison again, and as he's writing this letter, but yet we see him doing what he did in Philippi again when he's in Rome. He's rejoicing in a place where he probably shouldn't be. Over the last 4 weeks, we've looked at joy from four different angles in these first 18 verses. And in the next 8 verses that we're going to look at this morning, we're going to see the purpose statement of joy. The purpose statement of joy. Like, what is the goal? What is the end game? What is it that we're aiming for that truly produces joy? And I think we're going to see it in these next few verses that we look at here. Look what it says in verse number 19. Paul is writing to this church at Philippi from prison, and he says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." He's talking about himself being in prison. While he's in prison, people were bad-mouthing him, but yet they were still preaching the gospel. We talked about all of that last week. And Paul makes this statement. He says, "I know that this is going to turn to my salvation." Like, everything's going to work out. It's going to be fine. And in verse number 20, he continues, and he says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." I'm going to go ahead and get right to the purpose statement of joy. If you're taking notes, this is the first blank. The purpose statement of joy is Christ shall be magnified. Paul made it very clear in these verses. He said, "My desire, my expectation, my hope is that I won't be ashamed, but whether I live and I'm exonerated and I get out of jail, or if I die by execution in jail, my hope, my desire is that Jesus Christ will be magnified." Remember, to magnify something means to make it great or to enlarge it. And the reason you do that is because what you're looking at is it's something that's unique. It's something that is unexpected, something of value, something that brings joy. Just like something goes viral, it's something that brings hope. And whenever Paul is talking about magnifying Christ, he says, "My desire is that when people look at my life, I want my life to be a telescope that magnifies the name of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ and the mercy of Jesus Christ and the hope that's in Jesus Christ and the faith of Jesus Christ." He says, "I want people to see that through me." Now, that all sounds good and dandy, but remember, what's the context of this passage? It's suffering. In the middle of the suffering, he wants to bring Christ into the front so people can see him. Paul is going to talk about the two possible outcomes, life or death, in a little bit more detail. But before he goes into that in these next few verses, he outlines his goal. And his goal is that no matter the outcome, Christ will be magnified. He says, "Whether I live or die, I want Jesus to be front and center so that everyone can see him." He wanted to bring Jesus into view and make his beauty visible and his faithfulness known. Now, for Paul, there were two options. It was execution or exoneration. It was life or death. And when we look at our own lives and we talk about suffering, there may be some of us here that are going through difficult times, and there may be a similar comparison for you. You may be at that point where if something doesn't change, you may be facing eternity. There may be people that have terminal cancer or struggling with some other kind of illness. For many of us, it may be that we're facing life or death, and our goal, our purpose statement should be the same as Paul's: that Christ would be magnified. But let's be honest. Most of us here aren't facing death. You know, most of us in the room haven't been given days, weeks, or months to live. We may die at any moment. The Bible says that our life is but a vapor, appeareth for a little while, then vanisheth away. But most of us aren't looking at the potential of dying soon, but we are still in difficult times. And those difficult times may not be the options of life or death, but it may be that we have a wayward spouse or a wayward child. It may be that we're facing financial issues or other relational issues. It may be, like with our family, and we've talked about this at length, that we have two of our children that have epilepsy, and Emma, our 16-year-old, has had a couple of brain surgeries, and she's still struggling with seizures. Praise the Lord, she's been 48 hours seizure-free, and she was able to play her first high school football game. It was great, but volleyball game on Friday night, and it was very encouraging just to see how good she was doing. It was the first one after brain surgery, but for us, we're not facing life or death, but we're facing whether or not she's going to continue with seizures or not continue with seizures. For you, some of you, it may be whether or not the wayward spouse or wayward child comes home or doesn't come home. Whether I continue to struggle financially or God allows me to be blessed financially. And our purpose statement, in the midst of those things, no matter what the situation may be, the purpose statement should be the same as Paul's, that no matter what happens, life or death, seizures or no seizures, money or no money, coming home or not coming home, whatever the situation may be, to say, Christ is going to be magnified in my life. Amen. That's the purpose statement of joy. Some of you today may be thinking, you know what, Josh, I'll be honest with you. This is week 5 in chapter number 1, and I can't wait for us to get through this, because this whole series has been about getting through difficult times, and I'm just not in a difficult time. And I understand why you have to do these things, and I understand there are people that are struggling, and I understand that that's the context of this passage, but I just can't wait to get to the next passage because everything's okay right now. Well, could I just encourage you with something? Just because you may not be suffering today, can I encourage you to know your purpose statement needs to be the same? Your purpose statement for life ought to be, Christ is going to be magnified. The reason I say that is because of what it says in verse number 20. I love the way Paul puts this. He says, my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always. He's like, my goal has always been for Christ to be magnified, but now also, I want Christ to be magnified. What you see with Paul is he says, before all this suffering started, I already had a purpose statement. My purpose statement for the Christian life was to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering did not change Paul's reason for living, because his purpose statement before suffering was the same as it was in suffering. That whether things went good or things went bad, Christ would be brought front and center for all to see. The next spot in your notes there is that he was not preoccupied with finding joy. He was preoccupied with seeing Jesus. It's dangerous whenever we go through a series of sermons, joyride, finding joy in places that shouldn't be found. It's dangerous because oftentimes we make joy the goal. We put joy out front, like I've got to experience joy and I want joy. But Galatians 5 tells us that joy is not something that you can work up. It's something that the Holy Spirit brings down, because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, as we magnify Christ, the byproduct of that is joy. And Paul understood this. Paul's goal was not, I want to be happy. Paul's goal was, I want to see Jesus and I want others to see him as well. Many of us don't experience joy because we have made joy the goal and not understood that it needs to be the byproduct. No matter the direction, our determination must be the same: magnify Jesus. And so it'd be really easy for us just to stop right here and say, all right, guys, that's the shortest sermon we've ever done at Grace. We're going to stop right here and we're all going to go out and we're going to magnify Jesus, right? Yeah! And then we go to our cars and like, how do we do that? I'm glad you asked, all right? So here's how we magnify Christ, and we're going to see that how to do that in this passage. The first one, number one, is this. This is super easy. I'm from Tennessee, so you're not going to get real deep, all right? Talk about Jesus. If you want to magnify Jesus, if you want to bring him out front so everybody can see him, it's going to require you talking about him. Now, that goes against the cliche that we don't talk about religion and politics, but hey, if we're going to magnify him, we've got to be talking about him. We see that in the first 18 verses. One of the motivations for Paul writing this letter to the church at Philippi was these people loved him, and they had heard that he was in prison, and they had known that he had been in prison before. They knew that he had been beaten. They knew that he had a thorn in the flesh. They knew that he had suffered greatly, and they wanted to know, how is Paul doing? And Paul is writing this letter to them to let them know how he's doing. And in the first 18 verses, how much information is there about how Paul's doing? None. All right? As far as I know, I don't think there's any information where he's like, you know what? This place is nice. I got three hots and a cot, you know, and they've got DirecTV for me. I got ESPN. Tennessee lost again last night, but it's okay. We're going to keep praying for him. You know, what he's doing here is he's not talking about himself. He's talking about Jesus. As a matter of fact, the theme of the book is what? Joy. And Jesus is mentioned 18 times in the first chapter. The eight verses that we're looking at today, where he talks about his purpose statement, he uses the names Jesus or Christ five different times just in these short eight verses. Listen, when it comes to difficult times, there are people out there that want to know how you're doing too. All the time, my wife is getting messages and I get messages and people asking, how's Emma doing? How's it? Because they know my problems. You know, they know that, not my problem, like Emma's a problem. Oh, there you are, babe. I didn't see you sitting there. We know Emma's got problems. No, people ask, how are you doing? And the same thing is true about you guys. Like, I could go around the room and I could mention some of the different issues that some of you are facing. I don't know all of them, but hey, I know you know them. And there are other people that know about them as well. And they know you've been to the doctor. They know that you've had to face backstabbing. They know that you may have financial problems or that there may have been drama that took place. They know how those things have made you feel, and they want to know how you're doing. But can I ask you this? How much have we talked to them in the way that Paul talked to the church at Philippi? When they're like, hey man, how you doing? He's like, well, let me tell you about Jesus. Listen, they may know your problems, but can I ask you this? Do they know your Jesus? Like, and I hate for, you know, it gets real quiet when you ask pointed questions, doesn't it? And listen, I want you to know that I'm just as convicted about this as you may be feeling convicted right now, maybe even more so. But I want to ask you this question. How much have we talked about Jesus in the last week? I mean, really, like, we do life connected with other people, and many of the people that we're connected to, they know our problems. Some of them know our Jesus, some of them don't, but listen, all of them need to know how faithful he is. All of them need to know the love that he showed when he gave his life on the cross for our sins. Listen, we need to be talking about Jesus, because here's the thing, it's a lot easier and it's a lot more natural to talk about our pain than it is to talk about our purpose in Jesus Christ. Is that natural for you guys? Like, hey man, how you doing? It's a whole lot easier to go, you know what, I'm not doing too good, than to go, how you doing? Well, God's been faithful and things are good, and you know, it requires some effort to see what God is doing in our lives. And it's a lot more easy to talk about the pain and the hurt, because oftentimes we want sympathy. We want people to know, hey, this is what I'm struggling with and this is what I'm going through. And it's nice when someone pats you on the back. It's nice when someone says, oh brother, oh sister, it's gonna be okay, and all things work together for good, and come here, let me cry on your shoulder with you, you know, and that kind of thing. Is it nice to get sympathy out of others? Yeah, it's nice when you get a little bit of sympathy. But can I just encourage those of us that when people come to us and they say, man, I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with that, let's not always be the one that just says, oh, it's going to be okay, honey. It's going to be all right. You know, what we need to encourage people to do is not just to suffer with those things and just looking for empathy. Help them to look for Jesus. When someone puts something out there and they're like, hey, I'm hurting, I need some help, and I wish I wish someone just understood, it's good to come alongside of people and say, listen, I do understand, and I have been there, and things are going to be okay. But more than the encouraging words, they need to be pointed to the Savior, Jesus Christ. He could have very easily gotten people on his side. I mean, especially when we look at the last thing that he was talking about here. In verses 15 through 18, what was he talking about? He was talking about, hey, I've been in prison, and because I'm in prison, there are more people preaching the gospel, and some of them are doing it out of envy. Some of them are doing it out of strife. They've got a bad spirit. They're causing more pain on me. He very easily could have gotten people on his side, but look at how he responded in verse number 18. We looked at this one last week. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. You know, if we were in Paul's situation, many of us would have been like, you know what, why don't you go set brother so-and-so straight? Why don't you go set pastor so-and-so straight? Why don't you just go give them a piece of, you know, whatever you need to give them and let them know that what they're doing is wrong, you know? But we don't see him doing that. He says, I'm seeing Christ in this, and he is being magnified, so I'm okay with it. He rejoiced because Christ was magnified. He knew that if it took him being in prison for Christ to be magnified, he was going to be okay with that. So how do we talk about Jesus in our pain? As I went through this passage and jotted a few things down, as I was reviewing it this morning, I actually thought of a friend of mine. His name is Tim, and his father had been sick for many months, and just last Friday, or I think it was last Friday, his dad passed away. And so he traveled to Pennsylvania, and they had the funeral service on this last Monday. And I reached out to him. I called him last Saturday, and I said, Tim, man, how you doing? I said, I know you've probably gotten other calls. I'm sure you've probably gotten other text messages and things, but I just want to let you know we're thinking about you, praying for you. I want to just send our condolences, man. And you know what Tim did? Tim did the three things that I had written down. The first thing is this. He bragged on him, bragged on Jesus. If we're going to talk about Jesus, one of the ways we talk about him is just to brag on him. Look what he said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He said, whenever I think about you guys, it makes me think about what God has done in your lives. It makes me think about what God is doing in your lives and the purpose that he has for the future of your lives. And he said, I just got to brag on God. God's been good. And you know what? When I called Tim, I said, man, how you doing? First thing he said was, man, God's good. My dad's in heaven, and God allowed me to be able to spend some time talking to him. He talked about what happened with him and his mom and his mom and his dad before his dad passed. And you know what he was doing? He was bragging on God. And you know what? It magnified Jesus. It brought Jesus into the place where I could see the work that he was doing. The second way to talk about God is the next one here. It's to ask others how you can pray for them, which sounds crazy. Sounds crazy, but look at what happens here in Philippians 1:4. Paul says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. He says, when I pray, now remember, Paul's suffering. But in his suffering, he's praying not for himself. Who's he praying for? He's praying for someone else. And the only way he could pray for their requests was how? To know what they were. And you know, when I called Tim and I said, Tim, how you doing, man? I was talking to him. He did this exact same thing. We talked about his dad, and he told me some stories. He bragged on Jesus. And then he said, Josh, how are you doing? How are you doing? Is there anything I could pray for you about? I'm like, dude, I called you to comfort you. You're not supposed to comfort me. That's not the way this is supposed to work, right? But he said, let me say, and you know what he was doing? He was following in Paul's footsteps here. And in doing that, it glorified God. You know, a lot of us go, I'm just not sure how to talk about Jesus. Paul told us, all you got to do is brag about God. Just tell other people what God is doing in your life. And then if you I can't think of anything else, then just ask other people, hey, is there anything I can pray with you about? The next one and the last one for how to talk about Jesus is to talk about God's ability and his promises. Philippians 1:6, Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He just talked about one of the promises that God had given him. He said, I know that whatever happens in my life or in yours, God has a purpose, God has a plan, he's at work, even when we can't see it. I am confident that God is faithful in his promises. I'm going to encourage you to look for ways to talk about Jesus by bragging on him, asking others how you can pray for them, and to talk about the promises that God has given us. The next one, number two, not only to talk about Jesus, but secondly, to think about Jesus. How can I magnify him? I magnify him, bring him into the place where other people can see him by talking about him, but then secondly, thinking about him. Look at the words that he uses again in verses 19 and 20. Verse number 19, he said, for I know. This word know, it indicates that he's been thinking on this. He's been meditating on it. He says, I know that this is going to turn to my salvation through your prayer. And then in verse number 20, he uses another couple of words that go along with that. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. He says, my expectation, what I'm thinking on, what I'm meditating on is I'm expecting God to do something. I'm hoping that God is going to do something. He's focusing in here on what he's focusing on. He's talking about the way that he's thinking. These words show us that when he thought on Christ. As a matter of fact, that those two words, earnest expectation. One scholar said that the words that were used in the original language literally mean to be on tiptoe. To be on tiptoe would be kind of like when you're younger and there's an ice cream truck coming, and you can hear the weird sound. How many of you guys can kind of remember the weird sound that the ice cream truck makes, you know? And when you're on tiptoe, you're looking out the window, and you can't wait to, Mom, can I have a dollar? Mom, can I have a dollar? I mean, you just can't wait to go. Then there are other times where you misbehave a little bit. Anybody ever misbehave when they were younger? All right, misbehave a little bit, and your mom uses this phrase, you just wait till your dad gets home. How many of you guys ever heard that one before? Were you on tiptoe waiting for dad to get home? Like, ooh, I can't wait for him to get home. You weren't on tiptoe. What were you? You were slumped over. Like, oh, man. I hope dad never comes home. You know, I know what's coming, you know. Can I just ask you this? I mean, for those of us that may be in that dark point in life where God's allowed us to go through difficult times, which one of those is your posture spiritually right now? Spiritually, are you on tiptoe like, I know God's got something in this? Are you on tiptoe where you're just like, man, I know that God has a plan. My hope is that he's got a purpose and I just can't wait. Or is it, here we go again. It's almost that Tigger and Eeyore thing that we talked about a couple weeks ago, you know? But I think about that. I can't help but think about Emma, you know, and it was so encouraging. Me and Misty both were watching her play volleyball on Friday night, and she did a great job. She just had a beaming smile on her face, and we were just so encouraged. We're watching them play, and we're both up there crying. I didn't tell you, but I did. We were crying, you know, because it was just like, it was so encouraging to see that just she's doing good. And it's almost like we're on tiptoe. Like, there's a huge part of us that's like, gosh, this stinks. Anybody there? There's a huge part of it like, man, this is tough, and man, good night. And there's a huge part of us that just wants to go, oh, man. But can I tell you how you magnify the Lord Jesus Christ? Is you think differently about the situation. You meditate upon the expectation and your confidence, like Paul said, that I know that if God begun a good work, he's going to finish a good work. And my hope and my expectation is that God is going to use this to lift up his name, to glorify his son, so that other people can be encouraged and other people can be reached. We've got to not only talk about him, but we also need to think about Jesus. His thoughts had hope because his thoughts revolved around Jesus and not around joy. How do we think about Jesus in our pain? The next blank there is the next one is be looking for him. Just be looking for him. You know, that's what we see here. Here's Paul. And where is Paul? Prison. But while he's in prison, he's looking for God to work. He was able to see God work. I mean, we read earlier in chapter number 1 about how that there were people that had been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ while he was in prison. And so while he's in prison, he was looking for opportunities to do the work of God and to see the work of God. And the same thing is true in our lives. God is at work even in dark times. And if we're going to glorify him, we need to be thinking about him by looking for ways that he's working in times where it seems like he probably isn't. Not only are we looking for him, but the second one there is to be listening to him. To be listening to him. I love how in verse number 19, Paul said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." I like how in verse number 6, I think it was, where he said, "I am confident." It's really hard to cling to the promises of God if you don't know the promises of God. That's really deep, isn't it? I'm from Tennessee, but I get that one. Like, it's really hard to cling to and meditate upon and think about the promises of God if I don't even know the promises of God. So one of the best things you can do to glorify God during dark times and experience joy in a place that you really shouldn't experience it is to spend time looking into God's word and listening to him speak to you through it and finding promises that he's given to you and clinging to those things by allowing him to speak to us as we listen to him. The last thing about how we magnify Christ is number 3, to just simply tell others about him. It ties in a little bit with number 1 about talking about Jesus, but we also need to tell others about Jesus. We see that that's exactly what happens in the rest of the verses that we're going to look at today. Look at what he says in verse 21. He says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, remember, I'm either facing exoneration or execution. I'm either going to die or I'm going to live. And he said, you know what? If I live, then I'm going to do it for Jesus Christ. But if I die, that's gain because I'm going to get to be with Christ. I either can live for Christ or I can live with Christ. He's like, this is a win-win situation. Notice that he said, for me to live is Christ. We all live for something. 1 John talks about the different lusts of the world. There's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If we were to boil those down into three simple terms, it would just be we're either living for pleasure, for wealth, or for power. Pleasure, possessions, or power. But he says, man, I'm not living for any of those things. The lusts of the world, they're going to die. He says, but I live for Christ. Look what he says in verse 22. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. He's saying, look, if God lets me live, then I'm going to be fruitful for Jesus Christ. But look at the end of the verse. He says, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Or I don't know. Like if I had the choice, if I could choose between living and continuing to bring forth fruit for Christ or dying and being with Christ, I'm not even sure which one I would pick. He actually kind of explains that a little bit in verse number 23 when he says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So if he did have the choice, which one did he say would be better? To be with Christ in heaven. As a matter of fact, the word far better has a triple emphasis there. It's kind of the same meaning that you see whenever God says he'll do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's like bam, bam, bam. And that's what he means here is that triple emphasis when he is saying that it is far better to be with Christ. I believe he knew that it would be far better to be with Christ because he would be with Christ. But you'll never convince me that part of it was he just wanted to be done with some of the suffering. Remember, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that thorn was. Many people think it was his eyesight. It may have been the scars from the beatings that he had taken. It may have been just being in and out of jail. But he says, it would be a lot better for me if I were with Christ and to be done with this suffering. But look at the conclusion he came to in verse 24. Nevertheless, even though if it were if I got my wishes, I would just go ahead and go be with Jesus. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh or to stay alive and hopefully be exonerated is more needful for you, is what he says. Paul's mind was not on himself. His mind was on Jesus and his mind was on others. Even in pain, he put others first. This is one of the oldest cliche things. I think I saw this whenever I was in Sunday school when I was probably 4 years old. But joy can be put just like this. If we want to experience joy, we put Jesus first, others second, and then you last. That's what we see happening with Paul. Paul's like, my main desire is not to get out of prison. My main desire is to magnify Christ. And I'd love to be with Christ, but if he doesn't want me to, I'm perfectly fine with it because that means I get to serve you guys. Even though it means I have to go through pain, even though I have to go through suffering, I'm going to put you first and put my wishes on the back burner. He says that he was, verse 24, he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He recognized that his influence was needed in the lives of others. Listen, there are people that need your influence as well. People need your influence. But listen, there are people that are looking to you. There are people that are depending upon you. And there are some people that will only be reached by you. Paul lived with others in mind, and it brought him joy. Verse number 25, he says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. He's saying in that verse that he genuinely believed that he was going to get out of prison, because he believed that God wasn't finished with him yet. Many people believe that he was exonerated this time in this Roman imprisonment, and he actually died in the next Roman imprisonment. We don't know that for sure, but that's what we believe. And Paul said, I think I'm going to be let loose here because I'm going to further your joy, further your faith. God's going to use me to help you by me magnifying Christ. And then verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Paul, for me, by my coming. Is that what it says? No. Who is there rejoicing in? Jesus Christ. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, by my coming unto you again. Here's how we tell other people about Jesus in our pain. Very simple. Number one, prioritize ministry. Ministry is not something that's reserved for someone that works at a church. It's something that God has called every single child of his to. Can I say that again? Ministry is not something that's reserved for pastors. It's something that God has called every one of his children to do. God has uniquely equipped every one of us. We may not be like a Paul. Most of us, none of us are probably going to be like a Paul. God gave him a very specific thing to do. But listen, God has given you something specific to do as well. And one of the things that drives people out of ministering to others is going through difficult times. I would encourage, if you want to experience joy, we may think the way that we do that is to isolate ourselves, but that could be one of the worst things that we could do. We need to be like Paul and say, you know what, even in my suffering, I'm going to prioritize serving God by serving others. He didn't allow suffering to silence his voice. He lived his life as if eternity was real and eternity really mattered. He prioritized ministry. But not only that, lastly, let them see Jesus in you. We need to be faithful to share the gospel with others. I would encourage you to, every time the Lord gives you the opportunity, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And the good news of Jesus Christ is that all of us are sinners. We deserve hell because of our sin. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave his sinless life on the cross and allowed his blood to be shed because he loved us and he wanted to save us. And the only way to be forgiven is to believe the gospel, to believe that Jesus died for us, was buried, and rose again. And if we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation, the Bible says the blood that he shed washes away our sins. It doesn't cover it until you mess up, and then you got to confess it again so you can have it covered again. Listen, he died for all our sins, past, present, and future, and Jesus Christ truly is our only living hope that we have. And may God help us to share that message with others. But can I tell you, long before people will hear your message, they're watching your life. And they need to see Jesus in us, because sometimes one of the most influential ways to impact someone's life is just to allow them to see Jesus Christ living through you, because then that gives you a microphone. It gives you a voice that they are willing to listen and to hear. Our lives are in view during times of suffering more than any other time. Some of you may be in that spot where you're like, I'm not suffering right now, but some maybe are. And people are looking to you now more than they will usually at any other time. We've been talking at the beginning of the message, we talked about things going viral. Paul knew that he wanted to see wanted to bring Jesus out front so he would go viral, so everyone would know about Jesus. And aren't you thankful that Paul magnified Jesus Christ? Because of Paul, we have the messages that we have here today. The book of Philippians, we have because Paul magnified Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that. It had made an impact in my life and in your life. We think about things going viral. There was something that happened this week that went viral, and it was the court case for the lady, Amber Geiger, I think her name was, that a police officer had gotten off work. She went to her apartment complex, got off, went into the wrong floor. When she went into what she thought was her apartment, she went in, and there was a man in there. She feared, shot him, killed him in his own apartment. And she stood on trial this last week, and after being on trial, they found her guilty, and they went to the sentencing phase of how long she was going to determine how long she was going to be in prison. She was facing, I believe, anywhere from 5 to 99 years in prison. And during these sentencing phases, they let people testify. And usually during those times, people are listening, because the people that were going to testify, many of them were family members, people whose lives have been touched by this man, his name was Botham, that had died. And one of the family members, his brother, Brant, was going to give his testimony. And many of you have already seen it. But people were listening to Brant because it was his brother that died. And in case you didn't see it, I wanted you to see what he did that day that magnified Jesus. You think that magnified the Lord Jesus Christ? In one of the darkest points in his life, he talked about Jesus because he had thought about Jesus, and he told others about Jesus. The purpose statement of joy, magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.
Thank you again for joining us for today's podcast. If you have any questions about today's message or would just like more information about Grace, you can email us at info@experiencegrace.church. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and to subscribe to our channel for more messages just like this one.